Jesus' name, amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. It is written in a book about Robert E. Lee after the South had lost the Civil War, that he was taken to a home where an elderly lady had shown him a tree that was in front of her house. And the tree was, pretty much in half. And the lady was showing him this tree, and she was saying how it was a grand tree and a great tree, but that the Northern artillery had shot in that direction, had just literally destroyed the tree. She was looking for Lee to say something derogatory about the North, or, say something to, make her feel a little bit better about what had happened. Instead, he simply looked at her, and he said this. He said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." I think there's a lot of trees in our lives that we need to cut down. A lot of things that have happened in our lives that we need to just cut it down and forget it. We need to learn to forgive. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I want to teach you three things tonight about forgiveness. Three truths about forgiveness that I hope will help us to simply say, I need to be more forgiving. Number one, forgiveness is a command, not an option. Forgiveness is a command, not an option. We're going to see this at least from two verses. First being in Ephesians 4:32. Notice he says, forgiving each other. As Christ forgave you. The word forgive means to pardon. As I so often say, it has the idea of wiping the slate clean. I love what Jay Adams has to say about this. He said, if you think about forgiveness and you really think about it in a very practical way, then forgiveness involves three things. If I say I forgive you or you say you forgive me, then it involves three things in a very practical way. Here they are. Number one, I will not raise this matter with you again. If I forgive you, it means I'm not going to bring the subject up again. 20 years later, I'm not going to say, well, you remember you did this before. I'm not going to raise the matter again. Number two, I'm not going to tell others about it. I'm not going to tell others about it. If I've forgiven you, I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to slander. What I often see happen, especially with couples, couple get in a fight, right? And either the husband or the wife will get mad, so they'll go around, they'll tell a whole bunch of other people what had been said. And then somewhere along the way, you forgive your spouse. Do you ever go back and tell the 20 other people that you told about the problem? Probably not. So everybody's still mad at your spouse, but you've already forgiven them. See, if you've truly forgiven someone, it means you're not going to gossip. You're not going to tell everybody else what they've done. In fact, you shouldn't do that to begin with, but certainly not once forgiveness has taken place. And there's the third thing. I'm not going to dwell on it in my own mind. If I'm going to forgive you, then I need to work at getting it out of my own head. I need to get rid of it. Now, we are human beings, and there are just some issues that it is really hard to forgive. But what Jay Adams is saying, to forget things, what Jay Adams is saying, look, he said, just don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on it. As Lee said, chop down the tree. Let it go. So three things. I will not raise this matter with you again. I'm not going to tell others about it. And I'm not going to dwell about it in my own mind. Forgiveness is a command. And if I'm going to live this command out in my own life, it means that these things that J.M. talks about is going to be part of my forgiveness. I want you to notice here, it's not a one-sided thing. Forgiveness is always a two-sided thing. Forgiveness means that I'm going to forgive you and you're going to forgive me. It is a two-sided issue. But the reality is, whether the other person forgives you or not has nothing to do with your forgiveness of them. Forgiveness must be given whether the other person forgives or not. Notice here, there's a very important measuring stick. Be kind and compassionate to mother, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. The measuring stick for forgiveness is the same way that Christ has forgiven us. The way that God forgives you is the same way that you must turn around and forgive others. Well, how did God forgive us? Let me give you a couple of quick thoughts. First of all, He forgives all our sin. And He forgives every sin. So you can't say to someone, you know, I'm willing to forgive you, but I'm not willing to forgive you for this thing. I'm willing to forgive you anything you do, but not this one. When you came to Jesus Christ and you sought salvation in Christ and you asked Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says that God forgave it all, everything. So if you're going to forgive someone, you have to be willing and you must forgive it all, everything, all of it. Secondly, forgiveness as it relates to God always follows confession. Forgiveness always follows confession. God does not forgive you until you confess your sin. So really, if we're going to look at God's forgiveness in a very realistic way, for us to be forgiven is always follows confession. Forgiveness, if I could say it this way, confession always precedes forgiveness. So you might say, well, all right, that's a reality of Scripture. What does that mean then? Does that mean if someone does not confess their wrong or someone does not confess their sin, I have a right not to forgive them? No. Whether someone gets their side corrected or not, there is in a very real sense that we need to let go. Because if we do not let go, then that will turn into bitterness in our own heart. That will turn into hatred in our own hearts. There's a very real sense that we need to let it go. But it also does tell us something about forgiveness. For things to be totally corrected in a relationship, somewhere along the line, the other person really does need to confess their sin to get the problem totally corrected. And that's exactly what it talks about in Matthew 18 that we talked about last Sunday night. That if you're going to have two sides get things right, there needs to be willingness, forgiveness on one side and confession on the other. So that said, let me say it this way. Forgiveness always follows confession. Confession always precedes forgiveness, and forgiveness always follows confession. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Well, I begin reading in verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I want you to notice here that in order to be forgiven by God, we must first confess our sin. But I want you also to notice that when confession has taken place, forgiveness always follows. So if someone has hurt you, if someone has really, just really dug down to the depths of your soul and really, put a hurting on you, and they come to you and say, look, I messed up. I'm sorry. You have the responsibility, commanded by God to forgive them. Forgiveness always follows confession. Forgiveness does not negate punishment. Forgiveness does not negate punishment. So we think about God's relationship to us, because remember, Ephesians 4:32 says, "Let forgive as you have been forgiven." Realize that forgiveness does not necessarily negate punishment. We're not going to look there right now, but you may want to write down your notes, 2 Samuel 12. You remember that David had sinned with Bathsheba. So God sent Nathan the prophet to speak to David about his sin. And he comes, he tells him a parable, and David says, "Look, this guy deserves to die." Nathan turns and looks at him and says, "You're the guy. You're the man." David immediately admits his sin. Immediately confesses his sin. Immediately realizes, "Hey, I've been wrong. I've messed up. I need to get this right with God." But the child that was the result of that relationship still died. Forgiveness does not necessarily negate punishment. So, you know, a lot of people, when they're looking for forgiveness, well, they'll do this kind of thing. "I'm really sorry. I've been such a bad boy, and I want to be a good boy. You know, will you forgive me?" And what they're really saying is, "I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm really just sorry I got caught." I remember the dean when I was in college, when kids would come before him all the time, and it seemed right at that moment, you know, they're all teary-eyed and so confessional. And he says, "Look, you're only sorry you got caught. You're not really sorry what you did." And some people think if I go and confess that all the punishment will all of a sudden be gone away. And then if some of the punishment remains, then they get mad and say, "Well, didn't you forgive me?" Let me talk about a very real issue that relates to forgiveness. If you've done something wrong, or someone's done something wrong against you, and forgiveness is given, and then you do something and someone says, "Well, you know, I just don't trust you yet." Then your immediate response is to say, "But wait a minute, I thought you'd forgiven me." "Yeah, I have forgiven you." "Then doesn't that wipe the slate clean?" "Yes, it wipes the slate clean." But I want you to know there are some results of our action that forgiveness can be given, but there still may be some continuing results. For example, you commit murder. And the person, the family who comes around you and they say, "Look, we've forgiven you. It's been hard, but we sought God's heart. We've forgiven you." "Great, that means I'm not going to jail." "No, you're still going to jail, but we've forgiven you." Realize someone may forgive you, but there may be some continuing results of that forgiveness or of your actions. And don't think just because you've gotten forgiveness, it negates all the punishment, response, reaction of the other person. You know, very clear issue is the issue of trust. If a person's been burned, they may, in a very real, forgive you, but you have to build up trust again. You have to build up in a continuing, loving, faithful relationship, that trust, before that person's going to be able to trust you again. It's not like the person saying, "Look, I'm going to punish you because of what you've done." The reality is just there. And even in relationship to God, God sometimes does not remove all punishment, even though he may forgive. And we see that in the story of David and Nathan. So forgiveness does not necessarily negate punishment. Well, let's turn there. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I'll explain when we get there. beginning in verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She then wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Can you imagine this scene? Here's Jesus with this Pharisee. And this woman sees him. She begins crying at his feet. Pours perfume on his feet and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. Could you imagine what must have been going through that Pharisee's mind at this point? Well, notice, verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." You know, why in the world would Jesus allow a woman to weep at his feet, pour perfume on his feet, and wipe it with his hair? Does he not know that she's a sinner? Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender, and one owed them 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debt of both. Now, which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your sins have been forgiven. You know, the reality is God forgives great. God forgives much. God has forgiven gigantic. And no matter where you were at in life before you got saved, you need to realize that God has forgiven a whole bunch. We're not any different than this woman. Are you like her? Thankful for what God has done, therefore ready to forgive much. Now, let me just repeat what I said last Sunday night. There is nothing anyone can do to you that in any way equals your sin against God. So no matter how someone has hurt you, no matter how big the dig has been, it nowhere compares with your sin against God. So those who have been forgiven much must be willing to forgive readily and greatly. We should be no different than this woman. Well, Paul not only talks about this in Ephesians 4:32, but let's skip over to Colossians chapter 3. Why, you notice the very same thought is given in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 13. "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Notice, very same thought, but he adds a little thing on there, although it's kind of insinuated in Ephesians. Forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. The word grievance is a word that means a reason for complaint. So whatever the reason you have to complain against someone else, however they have hurt you, what he's saying here is, look, forgive. It is a command, not an option. Forgive. And here he adds the word whatever. Whatever it is. But you don't know what they did to me. Whatever it is, forgive. Whatever the grievance is, forgive. Again, the measuring stick is the way that Christ has forgiven us, graciously and freely. So forgiveness is a command, not an option. Secondly, forgiveness is an act of obedience. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we looked at this quickly last week. Luke 17, verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the heart of the sea, or thrown with a millstone tied around his neck, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. I love the answer. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. I just love that. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look, not only should you forgive when someone has offended, but if they come back 7 times in the same day and say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, or I repent, I repent, I repent, then you need to be saying, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And going through the mind of the apostles is probably the same thing that was going through your mind. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. They're saying, give us the ability to be able to do that. And his reply in verse 6 is, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. In other words, the issue is not more faith. Jesus is saying, look, you don't need any more faith at all. What you simply need to do is obey God. Obey God. The issue is, if someone has offended you and they come and they repent of that offense, the issue is that you have responsibility to obey God and forgive them. Forgiveness can be a very difficult thing, can't it? I mean, when someone has hurt you, it can be a really tough thing. And it seems for all of us that we have varying ability to forgive certain things. You know, if someone has offended me, there may be certain things I can say, oh, yeah, no problem, you know, no big deal. But other things I might say, I forgive. And for you, it might be something different. You know, what really gets under my skin might be different than what gets under your skin. So we need to be careful in pointing fingers. But what we need to realize is that forgiveness is an act of obedience. It is not based on our emotions. My forgiveness of you, your forgiveness of me, is not based on emotion. It's not based on whether I feel like forgiving you. That feelings have nothing to do with it. And the sooner we can get beyond that, the better off we're going to be. Because, you know, people come to me and I'll say, well, you know, the Bible says you need to forgive them. And they'll say, but I don't feel like forgiving them. So what? Doesn't enter into the equation. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. In fact, if forgiveness was based on whether we feel like it or not, I think there'd be a lot of unforgiven people walking around. Because for some, if we wait until we felt like it, it may never come. Forgiveness is not a thing I do because I feel like it. It is an act of obedience. In fact, forgiveness is not based on whether a person deserves it or not. Forgiveness is not based on whether a person deserves it or not. We do not deserve God's forgiveness, yet He forgave us. In fact, look at this in Luke chapter 17. He says here in verse 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgives him. We're good there. I know that if someone comes to me and they repent of that sin, they turn from their sin, that I have a responsibility before God to forgive them. But Jesus takes it way beyond that. He says, if he sins against you 7 times in a day, 7 times come back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. I think somewhere along the line, we might be saying, I don't feel like forgiving you anymore. I think somewhere along the line, we might be saying, I don't believe you anymore. But Christ still says, forgive them. And I want you also to notice here that all this person does is say, I repent. They don't go out and prove it. They don't go out and do all kinds of things. They don't go out and stand on their head. Notice that in verse 4. They come back to you 7 times in the same day, and they say, look, I repent. Our responsibility is to forgive them. Now, I know the Bible doesn't teach us to be gullible, but it does teach us to be forgiving. So our forgiveness is not based on whether a person deserves it or not. It is not based on our own emotions. It is based on an act of forgiveness. Here's the thought. When someone does this 7 times in a day, the thing that ought to be going through our head is this. I'm not forgiving you because you deserve it. I'm not forgiving you because I feel like forgiving you. I am forgiving you because God has commanded me to forgive you. In fact, I am forgiving you because I want to make sure that my relationship with God remains right. Because you know what? If I don't forgive you, it messes up my relationship with God. And that's what I want to make sure remains right. I want to make sure my relationship with God stays right. And I know if I don't forgive you, then my relationship with God's going to get all messed up. Jesus is saying to his disciples, the issue is not more faith. Jesus is saying to his disciples, the issue is obedience. That I need to forgive you simply because God told me to do that. I need to forgive you simply because God told me to do that. Now, if you take this back to some of what I said this morning about this world not understanding us, you go out into this world and you read this passage and say, look, if someone offends me 7 times the same day and they say, I repent and I turn, my responsibility is to forgive them, this world's going to look at you like you're nuts. But that's exactly what God is telling us to do. And we are to do that as an act of obedience to God. One more thing, number 3. Forgiveness leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to forgiveness. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we have the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 5, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love praying, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Whole thing Jesus is trying to teach here is, look, don't do things in front of people just so they can see you, so you can get a pat on the back from them. Do things so that God sees it. So in doing that, he says, look, I want to teach you a different way of praying. And it's here that he then gives the Lord's Prayer. Now, part of the Lord's Prayer, if we can skip through it, down to verse 14. Actually, verse 12. Notice part of the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And then down in verse 14, he kind of qualifies that or explains it further. Verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness leads to forgiveness. If you want God to forgive your sin, if you want God to free you of your sin, we bear the responsibility to forgive others. We bear the responsibility that we need to forgive others. In other words, you're going to go to God and you're going to pray, right? I remember when I was a kid, we used to have to go to confessional. And we'd go to confessional, you know, we'd get in the box and we'd tell the person, you know, everything we had done. In fact, when I was a kid, we'd make things up. You know, we'd just go in there and, we'd be walking up to the confessional and I'd turn to my brother sometimes and say, what am I supposed to tell him? I don't know what I did. He said, well, just figure something out. So sometimes I'd go in and I'd lie. I'd make things up. But I'd go in and then he'd say, well, now go and say so many Our Fathers and so many Hail Marys. And I'd kind of walk to the front, get on my knees, and I had to say whatever he said. And I used to do that. And I think, what's this got to do with my sin? It had very little. That's not the kind of praying Jesus wants us to pray. The kind of praying that Jesus wants to pray is to go before God. And if we have messed up, if we know we've done something wrong against God, we need to go to God and we need to confess that sin. But you know what? If we're going to go to God, confess our sins so that our relationship with Him might be made right, we need to make sure we've already done that with others. We need to make sure that we've already forgiven everyone else what they've done against us. Because I shouldn't go to God and say, you know what, God, I need your forgiveness so that our relationship can be where it needs to be, and then turn around to my brother, so to say, and say, but you know what, I'm not going to forgive you. Be just like the men we talked about last Sunday night that was willing to forgive even though he had been forgiven. If you're unwilling to forgive others, don't go to God and confess your sin. Don't go to God and say, you know what, I want to get this thing right, when you're unwilling to let others get their relationship with you right. It just doesn't work that way. In fact, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. So in this case, it's not someone who has hurt you. It's someone who has cause of offense against you for what you've done to them. Drop everything and go back, get it right. How much more so if you have the need of forgiving somebody else? Drop everything. Get your life right with God. Get your life right with the person. Then you could go back to serving God. That's what Jesus is talking about here. What happens if you're willing to forgive? What happens if you go and ask for forgiveness and it just doesn't come? In Romans chapter 13, chapter 13, verse 17, Paul says, look, live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. You have a responsibility for God to forgive, and you have a responsibility for before God to confess your sin. Whatever the other person does, you bear that responsibility. I wonder, Is there someone in your life that has hurt you, that you have been unwilling to forgive? Yeah, I have found through counseling over the years, and it bears out the truth of God's word, that maybe something has happened when you were growing up as a kid, or maybe, you know, many years in your life, and you've never forgiven someone for what they've done. And you've held on to that thing, and you say to yourself, yeah, but it doesn't affect anything going on in my life today. I want you to know, whenever you break God's word, it always has an impact. And there may be people from years and years ago in your life that you have not forgiven. If you want your relationship to God to be right, you have to forgive. You have to get that thing behind you. If you're going to go to God and confess your sin, if you're going to go to God and seek His forgiveness, you got to make sure you've already done that with those around you. Or you can't expect God to allow you to get right with Him. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's what He's saying here in this passage. So we spent two Sunday nights talking about forgiveness. If you are unwilling to forgive someone, I want you to know all you're really doing is saying, God, I don't want my relationship with you to get right. And God, I'm not willing to be obedient to your word. That is what you're saying if you're not willing to forgive. It's nothing to do with the other person. If you're unwilling to forgive someone else, you are saying to God, God, I don't care if my relationship with you gets right, and God, I am unwilling to be obedient to you. That's what you say when you're unwilling to forgive someone in your life. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. And as we stand and as we close our eyes and bow our head, maybe there's someone that's already popped in your mind that you have been unwilling to forgive. I have a simple question for you tonight. How long are you going to go in your life without being obedient to God's word? Father, we pray for strength. We know it is not necessarily an increase in faith. It's a matter of obedience. So, Father, my prayer tonight is that we would have the strength and the courage to be obedient. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight that's been unwilling to forgive someone else, that that forgiveness may happen even now, at this very moment. Help us, Father, to make sure that we interact in a way that is pleasing in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.